Since September here at Kern Money, we've been following a theme and understanding ourselves as foreigners in the world. Peter, the Apostle Peter, talks in one of his letters about us being aliens and strangers in the world, that when God does a work in our lives and unites us with his family, adopts us into his family, then we feel our alienation from the world around us. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, that we have been transformed and changed so radically that we feel as though we don't belong here. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there. So we've got a new passport, a new identity, and that's kind of a big mega theme of our whole church here, understanding ourselves as aliens and strangers, foreigners in the world. And we've explored that idea in a whole variety of ways right throughout the year, and we're nearing the end of that theme, and we're going to be launching a new series in September, which you'll hear more about in the next number of months. But we're approaching the end, and over the summertime we're just going to look at a couple of different instances to help us think about being foreigners. And it's a good time of year to think about being foreigners, because maybe some of you have been on holiday or are going on holiday and anticipating what it's like to be in a country other than the one you call home. And we're going to read tonight from the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament. And we're going to read just 8 verses from 1 Kings 17. And we're going to begin in verse 7. So this is God's word. This is speaking about Elijah, who is a prophet and has been outspoken about his own king, Ahab, because the king of Israel, Ahab, has advocated the worship of foreign gods. And God's word came to Elijah, and he was critical of the king of Israel. He spoke out against this worship of foreign gods, and his life was under threat. So he had to flee, and God had been feeding him by ravens, and by ravens were bringing food to him, and he was also having his thirst quenched by a brook that God had sent him to. But God moves him on, and this is where we join in with the story. Some time later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have something to drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Jar of flour, right? Poet, and I didn't know it. You're reading it all the time. A jar of flour did not run dry. If you were to choose a holiday destination, if you were to pick somewhere from a brochure or go online, what are the essential ingredients for you to have a fantastic holiday? Are you looking for a golf course or a beach? Are you looking for a good nightlife? Available single women days, that kind of, I don't know if it promotes that on the website or on the magazines or on the travel brochures. What is it that is an essential ingredient for you to have a great time away from home on holiday? What is it that you're looking for? Peace and quiet or activity? And we're all different, but we like to get away from home. We like to experience a break and be somewhere that we would not call home. We desire a change in routine because it really helps us to just switch off and relax and, and unwind. Well, Elijah finds himself far from home. He's not in Israel. He's not among his people. He's in Zarephath and Sidon. And he's there at the command of God. He's instructed by God to go there, to be far from home, because Elijah has been so outspoken about the king Ahab, the Israelite king who should honor God and who knows God but has turned his back on God and worshiped Baal instead. And Elijah has been so outspoken and prayed a prayer that meant that there was a drought in the land. And now Elijah's life is in threat, and God says, get out of here. And go, first of all, to Kerith, and that's where he went. They went to Kerith, and there was a brook there, and he drank water from the brook. And the ravens brought him bread and meat. But then the brook dried up, and he moved on to Zarephath, and that's where he meets the woman. This is not an ideal holiday destination. Yes, he's far from home, but things haven't worked out exactly as Elijah might have imagined. Don't think of foreigner and have tonight a picture in your mind of someone lying on a beach somewhere or sitting at a cocktail bar enjoying the sunshine. Have in your mind an asylum seeker, a refugee, a beggar who is far from home, totally dependent on the resources of others to sustain them. It's not some kind of romantic, idyllic holiday foreigner that Elijah is. He's far from home, and his life is under threat. He's in a time of famine, and things are not looking good. It's a difficult scene that we arrive at. The water dried up in Kerith, and so Elijah was moved on. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. God was sustaining him miraculously by demonstrating his power. God was a God who, and is a God who, controls all of creation. He's Lord over it, so he instructs ravens to bring food morning and evening to demonstrate his faithfulness in the morning to Elijah and in the evening, and as a demonstration that I'm caring for you all day. Even though you're far from home, even though your life is under threat, I'm taking care of you. I'm feeding you in a time of famine. And the brook dries up, and Elijah is moved on. But notice this. The brook dries up, but God's care for Elijah doesn't dry up. God is still able to sustain Elijah in a time of famine when things are tight. When the brook dries up, God's care doesn't dry up. See, Elijah's circumstances are difficult, but God is still able to bring encouragement and care when our circumstances are difficult. He's a fully reliable God. God is a fully reliable God. That's something that we learn from this passage tonight, that God is a God that we can depend on no matter what our circumstances are like, no matter what's going on in our life. God can be depended upon and relied upon. The promise of God is not continual comfort. That's not what God promises to Elijah. He doesn't say, everything is just going to work out fine. You're going to be okay. He promises to take care of him and look out for him. And on the surface of the situation that Elijah finds himself in, it's horrendous. There's a famine. He doesn't have any family around him. He doesn't have any friends around him. There's a drought that he caused by his own prayer. His king back in Israel is worshiping a foreign god, and now he's in the land of Sidon, who originally worshipped that god. He's in the place that originated the worship of Baal, and now this Baal worship has been adopted in his homeland, and God has sent him to Sidon, where the worship of Baal originated. He's in a bleak place. And it's an ugly, difficult scene that we find Elijah in. But if we get underneath the surface, if we dig a little bit and try and figure out what's going on here, we have reason to be encouraged. We have reason to be hopeful, because we see that even in the middle of that situation, God is at work. You think of Elijah's past, that the ravens were bringing him food. Like, that is just miraculous, that God is able to control birds to get meat and bread and bring it twice a day, meals on wings, right? Means bringing it to Elijah. Knowing where Elijah is. God knows where Elijah is and instructs birds to carry the food to him twice a day. Like, it's just miraculous. The knowledge of God is miraculous over your situation and Elijah's. He knows the struggles you have. He knows the weaknesses and limitations that you have. God reveals his faithfulness to Elijah morning and evening in a really difficult, tough time. He demonstrates faithfulness again now through a widow, through a woman who has really limited resources, who doesn't even have enough really to care for her own son and herself for the rest of the week. She says, I'm going to prepare a meal for us now, and then we're going to die. That's how limited the resources are at her disposal. She thinks, we'll eat this, and then there's nothing else coming. And yet, in the middle of that, God demonstrates his faithfulness. God instructs Elijah to go to her and communicate that he has needs and that God will sustain this woman and Elijah. 1 Kings 17, 15, and 16. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. In keeping with the word of the Lord, right? God does as he promises. God's word is reliable. Bank everything on Scripture being all right, not your circumstances being all right. Bank everything on the fact that God's word will come true, even in the middle of difficult times. That he is a fully reliable God who takes care of you, no matter how bleak the situation is right now, no matter how unpleasant the journey you are walking through. Scripture will work out all right. Every word of God proves true. That's what it says in Proverbs 30, verse 5. His word is to be trusted. He's fully reliable. If things are tough for you right now, if the condition and circumstance of your life is tough, unpleasant right now, don't see that as a sign that God has rejected you or abandoned you. See this as an opportunity for God to demonstrate his faithfulness in the middle of your tough times. He is well able to do it. He's well able to show his care, to demonstrate that he is God, that he is the one who sustains you, that he is the creator. Maybe you don't have a shortage of food right now. Maybe you have a shortage of hope. There's a person in your life who just seems like a complete irritant or seems too far gone. Maybe there's a situation in work that seems unredeemable and you have no hope about it. Maybe there's a situation in your family that's really unpleasant and you just think, that will never change. There's a famine of hope maybe in your situation right now, or a famine of finances, and you just cannot work out how ends are going to meet. And you're in way over your head. Or maybe there's a famine of health because your well-being or the well-being of someone close to you is really plummeting. And you just think, this is really bleak. Just remember that jar of flour. A little jug of oil. It wasn't up to the task. But with God factored into the equation, it was more than enough. It was more than enough. There's no shortage with God. There's no limitation for him. Nothing can restrict him. He's not subject to the weakness or to the restrictions that you and I are subject to. He's not caught in some supply chain. He just brings things into being. He is the God who creates out of nothing. We are all sub-creators. God makes raw materials. We need raw materials, but God makes raw material. He creates out of nothing. So if there's a shortage or a scarcity, and you're looking at it tonight and you're thinking, this is never going to do. I'll never get through this. Get your eyes up to God, who is the creator and sustainer of everything. Who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine. On the surface, things may look bleak, but factor in God to the equation. Factor him in. This week I've been in a number of situations where people have facing tough times due to ill health. It seems as though they're not well and they're experiencing difficulty. And it's been unpleasant. And on the surface you think, well, that's not great and it's a bleak situation and there's not much hope there. But listen to what Psalm 73 verse 25 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You see, God's word is not silent about our difficulties, that health can fail, that we are weak, that things don't always work out as the way we anticipate it. But he doesn't say, it's okay, your heart's going to get better, your bad back's going to get better, your plastic, whatever hip or tooth or whatever it is you've been replaced is going to get better, right? He doesn't guarantee that those things are going to get better. He says, I will be there in the middle of every single situation. I will never fail you. Your health might fail you. Your finances might fail you. Your boss might fail you. Your family might fail you. Your academic ability might fail you. But I will never fail you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. No shortage that we experience can limit God's ability. And so get your eyes off the shortage and get them up to your Savior. Say, Jesus, I need you to rescue me. You see, there was another prophet like Elijah, only he was a better Elijah, and he too was far from home. One greater than Elijah who came to a woman who did not have a husband. Who came to a woman at a well and knew her situation completely. And said, can you give me a drink? And she's wondering why this man would even speak to her, because Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And he says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that speaks to you, you would have asked him. You would have asked me for a drink. And here's what we need to realize. If we know Jesus, we will ask him. Does not motivate your prayer. If you know Jesus and the resources at his disposal, you will ask. Jesus says, if you knew me, you would have asked me for a drink. If you knew him, you would ask. Are you asking in prayer? Are you bringing your concerns and your weaknesses and your shortages before the living God? Jesus says, to this woman and to all who thirst, everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You can always count on Jesus. You can always count on Jesus. You will never thirst. The water he offers, the life he offers, never depletes, doesn't deteriorate, doesn't dry up. You will not have to move on from Jesus because that brook dries up. He will never dry up. You can always count on Jesus. He offers eternal life, and suddenly you get your eyes off the here and now, and Jesus brings eternity into the situation and helps you to consider your circumstances in light of eternity. And when you think about eternity, then you realize everything doesn't need to work out right here and now. I don't need everything to be figured out in the here and now, because there's coming a day when everything will be put right, when everything will be as it should be, when the lion will lie down with the lamb. There will be no division. There'll be no need for the police to enforce the law, because we'll choose to do what is right. Every single person will choose to do what is right. There'll be no need for medical staff, because there'll be no pain or sickness. There'll be no need for tissues, because Jesus himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. And so eternity is in view, and I'm thinking, I'm glad eternity exists. I'm glad that one day I can be with him in a kingdom where everything will be as it should be. I love how the Jesus Storybook Bible describes heaven. It says, everything sad will come untrue. You facing sad situations tonight? Is there stuff in your life that seems bleak and disappointing and hard? Well, the hope of the gospel says it will not always be this way. The hope of the gospel says, you don't have to put up with this forever. There's coming a day when everything sad will come untrue. Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. You can always count on Jesus. He's our portion forever. Your flesh and your heart may fail, but God is a fully reliable God. You can depend on him in a famine. Matthew Henry is a Puritan Bible scholar, and he says, faith has a long arm and can lay hold of blessings at a great distance. God can make them present. You can love them and rejoice in them. That's what faith does. And we are foreigners here on earth. Because of what Jesus has done, he's made us foreigners, people of faith who have longings, an appetite for Jesus, And the Holy Spirit brings the blessing of heaven close to us, that heaven comes to us, that the kingdom comes down, that by the presence of God we get to experience how things might be one day. He whets our appetite. The Holy Spirit whets our appetite for heaven. He gets heaven into us rather than getting us into heaven. I think that's Dallas Willard says that. We need to start trying to get heaven into people rather than people into heaven, because we get our appetite whetted for the way things will be, and it motivates us and inspires us to live in the middle of all sorts of difficulties and situations. Even in a time of famine, you can count on Jesus. And Elijah doesn't only discover that God is a fully reliable God. He doesn't only discover that God's care for him is fully reliable. That's not all Elijah discovers. He also discovers that the care of God is far-reaching. We're entering a week here in Northern Ireland where there's the potential of trouble. There's the potential of discord, of violence, of rioting, and we've seen it so many times in our country. And the television teams will be sent out, the news teams will be sent out to film this and to beam it into our living rooms and right across the world to send a picture of what's going on in Northern Ireland between communities at war. And usually when this happens, we get a representative from the Northern Ireland Tourist Board talking about the impact of these images on our tourist industry and saying how people stay away. You know, people avoid Northern Ireland because of violence, because of conflict. And we say it's a bad advertisement right across the world, stopping people to come here. Over and over and over again, we hear reports that it's killing the economy, that the violence that exists here is turning Northern Ireland into a no-go area. And the good news of the gospel is that there are no situations from God's perspective that could be described as a no-go area. There's not a circumstance or a situation in your life that God looks at and says, I better stay away from that. I wouldn't want to get my hands dirty in that. I wouldn't want to risk my life in that. I wouldn't want to get hurt in that situation. That's way beyond my comfort zone. There are no no-go areas where God is concerned. His care is far-reaching. He loves you, and he is strong, able to work in every life, every situation. Nothing's too far gone for him. Nobody is too far gone for him. That's the good news. You see, Elijah has fled Israel. He's a foreigner now in Zarephath. He's an alien, a stranger in a land that worships Baal, not God. And he's able to speak and communicate with a widow. And in this situation, God demonstrates his faithfulness to Elijah and to this woman from another land. And if you read on in this section of 1 Kings, you'll see that the little boy actually becomes so sick that he dies. And Elijah is enabled by the power of God to see this little boy resurrected to life. That even though the mother is in complete despair, even though she is an alien, even though she is not in Israel, even though she is not one of God's chosen people, God works a miracle in her family's life. And she recognizes that God has done it. This is what she says to Elijah, 1 Kings 17:24. Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is from your mouth, and that it is true. This woman recognizes the power of the living God. And she's an alien and a stranger to the promises of God, and yet God works in her life. There's no situation that's too far gone. There's no circumstance that's too far gone. We sing and worship all the time here about we're inviting the presence of God to be here. Be still for the presence of the Lord. And we sing, no work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. The care of God is far-reaching. There's no areas that are off-limits. Psalm 139 asked the question, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Answer, nowhere. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you are there. Even if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God is present everywhere. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but there's an Enrique Iglesias song that somebody I know listened to once. And it says, you can run, you can hide, but you can't. Lindsay Lloyd, what is it? Complete it for me. You can run, you can hide, but you can't escape my love, right? Don't pretend like you don't know it. I know you know it. You've got it on your playlist, favorites. Enrique Iglesias sings, you can run, you can hide, but you can't escape my love. And that's the message of the Bible. Jonah tried to run away. Over and over again, people try to get away from God, but he goes in pursuit of them. And is that your story, my story tonight? Even when I flee from God, even when I say I've had enough, even when I say forget it, God doesn't. He is in pursuit of you. He is in pursuit of difficult, broken situations to bring his strength and his power into. Don't write him off. Don't write anybody else off. Don't write any situations off. God is able. There's not a single situation that's too far gone. That's what the hope of the gospel enables us to be fueled and propelled into the week ahead, even in the face of difficulty. To be motivated to live for God, even when there's a famine, even when it's bleak, even when it's tough. Not to say, God, you've been faithless to me, but to say this is an opportunity for God to demonstrate his faithfulness when everybody else up sticks and goes and leaves. God is faithful. God is able to provide for you. Jesus is a greater Elijah, who left not just Israel to go to Zarephath, but left heaven to come to earth. Left the comfort of heaven and the familiarity of fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Stepped out of a community where he was just loved and loved and loved and stepped into a hostile one. Jesus is a greater Elijah. And he doesn't just feed one woman and a little boy. He feeds 5,000 men with a little boy's packed lunch, and women and children as well. And he does this miracle as a demonstration of who he is, to communicate his power, to communicate his ability to satisfy humans. He identifies himself as the bread. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is the solution to your problems tonight. Jesus is the solution to your hunger, your thirst, your longings. You need to look to him to satisfy. His care for you is far-reaching, right into the no-go areas that you've put barriers up and blockages up and you've written off long ago. God is able to make a difference even in those situations. You can always count on Jesus. So what is it tonight? What are the situations? What are the circumstances that you've already written off? What are the resources that you're looking at and saying, I don't have it, I'm not up to it, I haven't got enough? Have you factored in Jesus to the equation? Is he part of this story of your life? Have you considered what he might be able to do even in the middle of those situations? As you consider your own life, do you realize that your own religious activity is not up to it? Your own church attendance, your own good appearance, your own hard work, your own effort. You see, there's a perfect standard that you do not possess, but Jesus has it. And so we were singing earlier on tonight, we were singing adoration. We surrender to the truth that all we need is found in you, not our own resources, because we cannot satisfy God's anger towards us at our sin, but Jesus can, and Jesus did for you and me. He satisfies your hunger to be right. You don't need to prove yourself, because Jesus has proved you to the Father. He died, was buried, and was raised again. Not even death could stand in the way of Jesus proving his reliability and his care for you. Nothing, not even death, can separate you from the love that God has for you. And so as you think about your life tonight and understand yourself, if you're a Christian, as a foreigner, as an alien, as a stranger here on earth, it's maybe not quite like the holiday brochure. Things might not have turned out exactly as you anticipated. You may be aware that things are going on right now that say, I'm far from home. I have a longing for things to be different. Well, here's the truth of the gospel. You can always count on Jesus. And one way that you can remind yourself of your ability to count on Jesus and Jesus' strength in your weakness is just to read that passage this week. To read 1 Kings 7, 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through to 16. And remind yourself of this woman who had limited resources and what God was able to do for her and her family through the prophet Elijah. Just read that passage as a reminder of God's care for you, how faithful he is and how far-reaching his care is. Read that passage. Also, could you bring stuff to God in prayer? Could you set some time aside every day or at some point in this week to say, just like Jesus says to you, you know, if you knew me, you would ask. Would you go to Jesus and ask about the situation that you're concerned about? If you knew him, you would ask. You can always count on Jesus. The band are going to come now and continue to lead us in worship.